You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Today we're getting to know three of the nine candidates for Wilmington City Council. There are three open seats. We will meet the other candidates next week. With us now is Perry Fisher, a Wilmington resident for a little more than 38 years. He has published a newspaper, Front Street News, and he's worked as a broadcast journalist at 980 The Wave under the tutelage of the late Don Ansell. After radio news, Perry Fisher went to work in the newsroom at TV6. He is an unaffiliated voter. Perry Fisher, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you very much. There was one correction there, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Front Street News was actually a newsstand, coffee shop, bistro, restaurant, nightlife kind of place. It wasn't a newspaper, but it sounds like it was a newspaper.
Goodness. Okay. Well, the scuttlebutt on the street about you needs to be corrected.
That's oh, okay.
Thank you for that.
We probably created some news, but we didn't print any.
You can ask your own question of our candidates during this live Wednesday interview. You can either call us today at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. Perry Fisher, have you ever held public office before?
No.
Why now?
Now or never, in a way. If it hadn't been for my reporting experience, I wouldn't be here because there was 5 years worth of hands-on reporting for the radio station where really there were only three of us in the newsroom, and I just kind of assigned myself to become, you know, the guy who went to the council, the city and the county and the Board of Education, the hospital and the airport. I went to all their meetings. And so I got pretty well immersed in, how the pieces fit together. And then in the newsroom at TV6, assigning a lot of it, I was able to watch it. So.
And is that what's now WECT?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But as far as now, I think that the work that I've been doing in the last few years it's been kind of civic and behind the scenes has shown me that there's a lot that can be done in Wilmington that and is being done in Wilmington that can address some of our most difficult problems. And
What is that work?
Well, to me, it boils down to concentrating on strengthening families. I think that our biggest problems, and this is not only Wilmington, obviously, our biggest problems are social, and almost all of them can be traced to some extent back to a disintegrating family unit. There's no society that can work in an ongoing, indefinite way with broken families.
What's the work that you're doing to help bolster families?
The work that I have done has been largely private, but I helped last year David, the district attorney, was founder of the Hometown Hires program, which merged into and with the
Employment Ministry.
Phoenix Employment, thank you. I still have a restaurant on the mind. I was able to help with that merger by observing for weeks and being there to report on how the merger itself was going. And that work introduced me to the United Way and to some of the domestic violence work that's being done and the whole array of social safety net services that are ongoing, and had me look from about a 10,000-foot vantage point of how that system works and maybe to see some of the places that it might even be improved.
If you were to win a seat on city council, how would you take that experience and parlay it into policymaking at the city level?
Well, that's an excellent question, and I have asked myself that numerous times to come up with this answer, and that is that family and strong families are really the lifeblood of any community. And so it would, the Fisher for Family thing, if you will, is an animating spirit. It would become, and has become already to some extent, the fundamental litmus test for every proposal, every agenda item, and then every vote that I would be taking. I would be asking myself, is this proposal good for building families? It's a huge problem. It's a knotty problem. It's a chronic problem.
So let's hold that litmus test up against one of the major controversial issues in front of the city of Wilmington, or soon to be in front of council, and that is short-term rentals. There's, of course, a lot of opposition to allowing short-term rentals in the residential historic district and other residential districts within city boundaries. And there are advocates for short-term rentals who say this is part of the Wilmington tourism industry, and it's my right as a property owner. Where do you stand on that issue?
Well, are we talking about only the historic district?
We're talking about an ordinance for the entire city of Wilmington.
Okay. Well, let me put it this way. I would be in favor of, and am in favor in general, of no rules being the best rules. However, in this case, that doesn't work. To me, I think that the historic district, by definition, is a special place. It's got national recognition. It's got its boundaries, and it has a purpose. There are three kinds of short-term rentals, as you know. You know, you've got your bed and breakfast. That's taken care of. We don't deal with them right now. But as far as the other two, which are whole home or whole house, and the stay or the home stay, where the owner is in the house that contains the rented unit bedroom. So the question is, where does family come in on this? And the answer to me is, in the historic district, let's just confine it to that. That's a 50-year project plus that has been underway as a residential community for, the 5 decades or so that it's been going on. If whole home short-term rentals encourages the use of owners who are absentee, to me, the family litmus test on that says, well, wait a second, is that the right thing for a residential neighborhood or this residential neighborhood? Is it a good thing for families to have this in and out? And to me, that doesn't meet the standard. However, when we get to the question about homestay, where you own a house and you're renting out a bedroom or two, and I live next door to you and maybe don't like that, that question becomes family neutral. And so I'm not saying that it's that this family is applicable to every case. What I am saying is that I will apply it to every case and see if it is. And the more family friendly we can become, the better.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. We're meeting 3 of the 9 candidates for Wilmington City Council. Right now, we're talking with Perry Fisher. You can ask your own question during the live Wednesday show by calling us at 910-343-1138 or sending an email to coastline@whqr.org. Perry Fisher, you claim that you have the best, and I have not checked this, I must say.
But you can. I know what you're going to say. Okay.
You have the best accumulation accumulated voting record of all 9 candidates for city council, according to the North Carolina Board of Elections.
That's exactly right.
Why is that important to you? Why do you hold that up? What do municipal elections and a voting record, what does that mean to you?
Well, I'm old enough that I had civics class. I don't know that they still have them anymore, that you wouldn't know it to see what the turnouts are. There are 4 candidates that they're running for city council, or 3 actually, that average 2 or more elections a year, which is the most you can do in New Hanover County. The database for the state goes back to 1992. And of those 8 candidates, like you said, I have voted in more than any. Now, what does that mean? Does that make me a better person than they are? No. Does that mean that I would be a better council person than they are? No. It does mean something, though. It means something consistently. It means that American citizenship means something to anybody who goes out and votes whenever they have a chance, especially if they take the time to become informed. I just think it's part of what we're supposed to do.
You say that a current Wilmington City Council member suggested that you run. Who was it, and where did that suggestion come from?
I try not to use names. Actually,
go ahead and drop names here.
Okay, I'll drop one just because you asked. It was Neil Anderson. And I saw him at a coffee shop that I go to daily. And he's in from time to time. And it was right after the registration period began. And he said, Perry, you ought to run. And I said, Neil, one of these days I'll have you over to my house and I'll take you into my bedroom and show you the closet and we can look at all the skeletons. And he said, oh, that'll just make it fun. I said, okay. But the truth is, I had always been thinking of doing something like this. It might even be related to voting so often for so long. The time just seemed right. And, you know, I guess there are some people who, are approached frequently about doing something, but I thought that it was, he didn't have to say anything to me, I was delighted that he said anything.
Wave transit, public transportation in Wilmington and New Hanover County, has faced a tough road in terms of keeping regular, predictable funding, expanding its choice, its base of choice riders. Those are people who choose to ride the system, who have other options. Some local policymakers say that Wave Transit should be funded at a minimal level, just what government is required to do for those who need that transportation. Others say we need to expand the number of choice riders here. And where do you fall on the issue? How would you want to fund it?
I would want to know more. I just don't know the answer to that question, Rachel. I've ridden on the bus. I rode on a bus one day this summer just for the sake of riding on the bus. And it occurred to me how difficult life would be if I had to ride on the bus to go everywhere I wanted to go.
Well, let's play this out a little farther. We know that this area is seeing a spike in population. More and more people are moving into the area. And if we stick to this accelerated growth rate, we could have 50,000 more people in this area by the year 2040. That's less than half a century away. What would you do as a member of City Council to plan for that kind of population spike?
You mean only as far as mass transit goes here,
or are you talking about
in general?
Yeah, how do we need to prepare for that?
That's a very good question, and I think that our growth has to be thoughtful. I think that if voters in Wilmington have confidence, or to have confidence in their the county commission and the city council, I think that if they think, they're doing things thoughtfully, then that's good. We have a project out there at Carr and Randall called Aspen Heights that is very difficult to look at. For me, it's radical, or it's crowded, it's close to the road. And I haven't spoken with anybody who has seen it who was satisfied with it. That was a mistake on council's part. That doesn't make the council bad, but it was a mistake in my view. I think our growth has to reflect the best of who we are. The best of who Wilmington is, among other things, is trees. And I don't see any reason in the world why we shouldn't be able to require that a row of trees be planted on the perimeter of these developments so that the natural beauty of the area can be enhanced. What we see now is people so close to the road they could almost open drive-thrus.
And that's all the time we have. That's this edition of Coastline. Yes, it flies.
That's no fair.
It does. Thanks so much, Perry Fisher, for being with us today. Thanks also to Deb Hayes and James Ray, and Technical Director Ken Campbell, Associate Producer Rachel Keith. Join us on the next edition of the Coastline Candidate Interviews when we meet the mayoral candidates for mayor of Wilmington. We'll also meet more candidates for Wilmington City Council next week. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org. Get the podcast. You can find it on the WHQR app, or tune in for the rebroadcast of this episode Sunday afternoon at 3. Join us for Coastline Live Wednesdays and Thursdays at noon here on HQR News 91.3 and 98.9 FM. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.